Hello everyone. For those who haven't met me yet, my name's Nicole, and today we'll be reading the Bible from Isaiah in chapters 7 and chapters 9. But before we read the Bible, let's spend some time praying to God. Our Father in heaven, we praise you for the way you are a loving and kind God. Tonight, as we celebrate Christmas Eve, we rejoice in the birth of your Son, Jesus. In a gift of amazing grace, your Son was born on this earth and walked with your people and shared your wise words so that we might come to know you, Lord. Tonight, tomorrow, and every day, Lord, let us celebrate this amazing gift and strive to share this with non-believers. As we come to listen to your word now, please give us open hearts and open minds, and please prepare us to be challenged. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so we'll be reading from Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, and then Isaiah chapter 9, verse... My eyesight's not too good, let me just read this on the paper. Verse 6. Okay. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Thanks, Nicole, for reading the Bible for us. Merry Christmas to you. Great to see you. Thanks for coming out to our almost midnight service, but I promise not to preach that long. Now, you won't still be sitting there when it's midnight. Maybe you'll be driving home when it's midnight. I'm wondering whether you recognise this item that's on the screen. This is an icon from Midwest New South Wales. You probably recognise it sitting there in the canola fields of Midwest New South Wales. Of course, it's the Parkes Radio Telescope. Also known around Australia by its much simpler nickname, which is also the title of a movie about it, The Dish. You probably have seen this movie. It's a great yarn, and it's no surprise this movie was produced by the same people who produced that other iconic Australian movie, The Castle. Now, Parkes Radio Telescope is well known, and lots of people think that its claim to fame is that it played a really prominent role, so people think, in the moon landing in 1969, in broadcasting that. Now, whilst it did play a role, along with other telescopes, it wasn't, in fact, a dish that looked like this that played the biggest role in Australia in the moon landing in 1969. No, the site that played the biggest role doesn't look like this. It actually looks like this. See, this is the now empty site of the Honeysuckle Creek tracking station, which was near Canberra. And the hint is there in the words of Neil Armstrong, planted there in the ground, one small step, one giant leap. Now, I'm pretty sure that there are plenty of Canberra parents who have driven their kids to this location. And the image in the minds of those parents was probably this one. Those amazing scientists and engineers back in 1969 at the Honeysuckle Creek tracking station, who were so crucial in bringing the images of Neil Armstrong walking on the moon in 1969. But of course, the kids, having taken the drive, all they see is a boring bush paddock with some lame signs, and they'd be wondering, why's Dad brought us out here to this remote place just to see this lame paddock? Now, have you ever had an experience like that? Visiting a site that's supposed to be iconic, but feeling rather underwhelmed. Now, there's a fair bit of that in the story of Israel and Judah, the ancestors of the Jewish people, we see a lot of that in the Old Testament book of Isaiah. Time and time again, God would come to his people in mercy and grace. He'd call them to a life of enjoying him, knowing him, but they'd be underwhelmed, unresponsive in the face of God's glory. Now in Isaiah, we find these amazing, glorious words that Nicole read for us just a moment ago. Words that we often hear read and sung at Christmas time. The promise of a child called Emmanuel, a Hebrew word that means God with us. Now the words of Isaiah, if you're familiar with them, they are wondrous words. They are glorious words. They are beautiful words of God's glory coming down to us. Glory met in the face of this promised child. Words that inspired one of the very, very best pieces of music the Western world has ever produced. You will have heard it. Handel's Messiah. One of those rare pieces of music that speaks to the whole person, the heart, the mind, the emotions. If you've never listened to it carefully, you should get a copy of it, download it and listen to it. It is truly glorious. In Handel's Messiah, Handel leads us with glorious music to the words of Isaiah the prophet, and through Isaiah's words to the God we meet in the person of Jesus Christ. It's as if Handel asks us in his stirring piece, "Unto us a child is born," it's as if he's asking us, as you turn your eyes upon Christ and fix your gaze on his coming, would you be underwhelmed or unresponsive in the face of God's glory as you behold it in the glory of Emmanuel, God with us? Now, sadly, in Isaiah's prophecy, in the verses just before those that Nicole read, we meet a man who does just that. Because we meet a man who is a king in Judah, a king in Jerusalem, whose heart is cold as stone, cold to God, a man who is underwhelmed and unresponsive in the face of God's glory. We meet cold-hearted King Ahaz, right there at the beginning of chapter 7 in Isaiah, in verse 1. We're told that Ahaz was a king, just like his father Jotham before him, and like many of the kings before him, Ahaz led the people away from God to idolatry, to substitutes, worshipping false substitutes for God. Now, when Ahaz became king, to be fair to him, he was put in a difficult situation because things were looking tense on the world stage. There were literal wars and there were rumours of wars. In fact, at one stage, armies gathered around his city, but they didn't quite get in. Powerful nations were threatening peace and stability, and so the prosperity of his nation. To the south, there was ancient old Egypt, that old power. And to Jerusalem's north, there was Assyria. They'd quickly become a mighty nation, like China in our day. They were the new superpower in their day. And they'd begun to cast their eyes towards Israel's borders, towards Israel, looking to extend their power and their influence and their wealth. Now, hoping to secure peace and safety, King Ahaz seeks an alliance with the new superpower, with Assyria. And this is when Isaiah, the prophet from God, turns up in King Ahaz's court, in his royal palace, with a warning and a promise, bad news and good news. Here's the bad news, he says to King Ahaz. If you trust in Assyria, you're done for. They will do you in. But King Ahaz, here is the good news. Trust in God, and God will deliver you. See, it's a call to faith, a call for King Ahaz to trust God's promise. God says to Ahaz, If you stand firm in your faith, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. So the issue is clear for Ahaz. Ahaz, in whom will you trust? Who will you turn to for your salvation? Who do you think will really deliver you, King Ahaz? Will it be Assyria, the rising superpower? Or will it be God, the God of Israel, the God who has always been with us, the God who rescued us out of Egypt? Will you trust in him, King Ahaz? Now, God is gracious to Ahaz. He gives him every chance, every opportunity to turn to him, to trust in him, to trust in his salvation. In verse 10, God promises this to King Ahaz. He says, I'll give you a sign. All you've got to do is ask for it. I am willing to move heaven and earth to show you what I promise for you, and I will deliver you. How does King Ahaz respond? Well, he responds by refusing. In verse 12, he says, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. God freely offers a sign, and Ahaz refuses under the false guise of being pious. Oh, I'm too holy to ask God for a sign. I'm not going to do that. But of course, it's a front. The truth is, Ahaz is unwilling to face reality. He's unwilling to face what the prophet from God is saying to him. The issues he faces as king, they aren't just political. They aren't just about armies. They're issues of the heart. They are spiritual. Just as all the issues that you and I will face tomorrow and in the coming weeks and months are, they are not just material. They are always also issues of the heart, spiritual issues. Now, Ahaz, he refuses a sign because he doesn't want to trust God. He wants to trust in his alliance with Assyria, the rising superpower. He wants to choose his own way in the world. And so Ahaz is a man who is unresponsive and underwhelmed in the presence of God's glory. And before we criticize Ahaz too much, the same temptation is there for you and me in our daily walk in life, as God's word comes to us in much more glory in the message of Jesus. We too can be underwhelmed as we seek to put our hopes in something other than the God who has revealed himself in Jesus. But back then, as God is today, God remains God. And so he promises to the people back in Isaiah's day, he promises something much greater than judgment. He promises his salvation. God says to Ahaz in the verse we just read, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Ahaz, you refuse a sign, but the Lord will give you one anyway. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. You see, when the people of God, in the person of their king Ahaz, were at their very worst, God is still at his very best. He comes and speaks and promises to act in salvation. You see it a couple of chapters later. The promise comes back again, as we just heard when Nicole read the Bible, the second reading. In a time of darkness, God promises his glorious light will arise. In the words of Isaiah that Handel actually put together in one piece of music. Our two Bible readings actually appear in one piece in Handel's Messiah, including these words, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. See, Ahaz represents humanity. Humanity as it has been for every generation, as it is in our own, with its back turned against God. But God remains God. He doesn't leave us there. God promises and he sends a king to graciously bring us home to God, Emmanuel, whose name means God with us, Jesus, the man who is God. Now, friends, when you hear about the judgment of God, that is the way God judges people, what do you imagine that to be? You know, some sort of fiery judgment? Well, whilst that image is used, Paul makes it clear in Romans chapter 1, in the first chapter of his letter, that God, to use a modern saying, God treats us as adults. In the main, his judgment is to allow us to live with the consequences of our actions. And whilst it is true there are so many evils in this world that are perplexing and they're hard to fathom and understand, it is also true at the same time that so many of the evils that humanity experiences in this world are the natural consequences of we humans going our own way in life without God, without any true consideration for God and for the good of other people. Now, the amazing thing that Isaiah prophesies all those centuries before Jesus came is that God does not just leave humanity stuck in that place forever and ever going and living with the consequences of going our own way without God. God intervenes and provides the way back to knowing God and so to truly loving others, which Isaiah puts so dramatically later on in his prophecy, words which Handel chose to give great prominence to in his Messiah. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, that is on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. See, Isaiah's ancient prophecy, as Handel correctly understood it, has been fulfilled in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. The truth is, to some degree or other, the lives of every one of us gathered here today, the life of every person you meet, every single human life in this world, is scarred, sometimes deeply scarred, with the consequences of ourselves or others who've impacted us going our own way in life without God. And we know it's true, for we all bear those scars in our lives. But the good news of Christmas, the good news that Isaiah prophesied, is that God has not left us nor our world stuck there. In Jesus, God has provided the way home. In Christ, the amazing healing power of God's forgiveness and love can heal those scars and cause us to become agents of God's healing and restoring power and love in our world. King Ahaz, the king of Isaiah chapter 7, pictures the consequences of a world where people turn their back on God and go their own way in life without him, and the wounds that come to individuals and communities and nations from that choice, the consequences of going without God. But the good and the glorious news of Christmas is that God has not left us there. He's not left our world stuck there, because in Jesus he has provided the way home. In Christ, God's amazing healing power that flows from his forgiveness and his love really does have the power to heal those scars in our lives, and more than that, to cause you and I to be agents of his healing and his restoring power in our world. Now, many of us here tonight already believe that, and we say, yes, that's true, and I'm glad to be reminded of it. But maybe you don't quite yet believe that, and you'd like to explore this some more. If you'd like to explore it some more, go to our Living Church website and click on the Exploring Christianity tab, and you can discover there how you can explore some more this good news of God's healing power in Christ. And you can explore it with some people who will be quite sensitive and gracious as they help you do that, just as God is to us in Christ. If you've listened to Handel's Messiah, you'll know that it truly is glorious. But it's not glorious simply because Handel was the talented artist that he was, but because in Isaiah's prophecy, he was putting to music the glorious, good news, the wondrous news of Christmas, of God with us in the person of Jesus, as Isaiah prophesied all those centuries before Jesus came. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The King from God who brings us home to God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. In him, in Jesus, the one Isaiah prophesied about, forgiveness truly is found. And this is the wondrous news of Christmas, of God truly, really with us in the person of Jesus. Christmas, yes, if the truth be told, it does also remind us of the scars of our world, of that empty chair, that person no longer there due to death or a breach of relationship. It reminds us of how people who we were once close with and we are now distant from because of wounds in relationships. Yes, Christmas does remind us of the scars of this broken world, but if you trust in Jesus, in the face of that, give thanks to God this Christmas that God's forgiving, God's healing, God's restoring power is at work in you if you trust in Jesus, his Son. Not only at work in you, but through you in your relationships with others. And so with that in mind, we're going to sing in a moment two closing carols. And the very last one is this. And I invite you to sing it from the heart as we reflect on how Isaiah's prophecy really has been fulfilled in Jesus. No more will sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He'll come and make the blessings flow. Joy, joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. Would you join with me as we pray? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the wondrous, glorious news of Christmas. The news that Isaiah prophesied those hundreds of years before Jesus came. Help us to not be like King Ahaz and be underwhelmed in the face of your glory, but to be like Isaiah and to give great praise to you that in Jesus you have come and you are present. And in Jesus we find the wondrous, glorious power of your forgiveness and love, not only healing the scars in our lives, but enabling us to be your agents of grace and forgiveness and love in this world. Help us to respond in that way, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.